You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, everybody, let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the New Testaments of your Bibles. If you're new to Cornerstone, we just teach straight through the Bible, and we find ourselves here now in the 6th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read this morning or this afternoon now, I'm going to read verses 14 to 18. We'll close out the chapter by looking here at 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 14. Paul writes, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Let's pause there and pray. Father in heaven, we're just glad to be here in your house where we can worship you and pray together and fellowship and seek your face and now to open your word and to have you speak to us, Lord. So we thank you for this passage we're going to be looking at today. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me, that people would hear what you would want them to hear, and that we would not be hearers only, but doers of your word. And we love you and we praise you together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, some things just simply don't go together. Oil and water, socks and sandals, milk and lemonade, hair pieces and high gusty winds. Some things just don't go well together. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God is telling us through the pen of Paul that there are some things that do not go well together for believers. Look again in verse 14 of your Bibles. It was the opening verse. Paul writes, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, please notice what he does not say. He does not say that you're not supposed to associate with unbelievers. He doesn't say you're not supposed to speak with unbelievers, or you're not supposed to work with unbelievers, or even befriend unbelievers. If Paul meant that, he would mean that we were to have no contact with unbelievers. That's not what this verse is saying. He's not saying don't have any contact with those dirty, sinning unbelievers. That's not the point of his message. If he were to say don't have any contact with unbelievers, we couldn't live in this world. A. And B, if we were to have no contact with unbelievers, then how would they ever hear about Jesus or see Jesus modeled in our lives? So we are to have contact and connection with unbelievers. We are to befriend them. We are to be examples to them. We are to be salt and light. We need to work with unbelievers. We need to socialize at times with unbelievers. We need to be able to have some kind of connection with unbelievers so that they can know about Jesus like we know Jesus. But what Paul is saying here is, I don't want you to be yoked with unbelievers. Paul is making it clear here that there's a difference between socializing and befriending unbelievers, which is important, and being yoked with unbelievers. Now, we'll talk about the difference, but First, let me point out something that he wrote in his first letter to the Corinthian church so that we are clear about how he's not telling us to isolate ourselves from unbelievers. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, he said this. He said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. In other words, Paul's saying, if you were to exclude yourself from the sexually immoral or covetous people or extortioners or idolaters, you couldn't live in this world because we are surrounded by sinful people who are unbelievers. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 5, he goes further to say, we as Christians need to be more particular about hanging around people who claim to be Christians but are living for the world. Those are more dangerous than people who don't claim to be Christians who are living for the world, because people who don't claim to be Christians are just doing what naturally comes to them by living in the world. He says the greater danger are people who claim to be Christians but are still living like the world. That was 1 Corinthians 5. Back here in 2 Corinthians 6, he's kind of building on the same idea. He's not saying be exclusive and isolate yourself from unbelievers. He's saying don't be unequally yoked with them. Now, that's a farming term. The idea of being yoked is a farming term when two animals are harnessed together. They are yoked together to plow a field. And Paul is using an analogy here to warn us as Christians. The Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, actually prohibited certain animals from being yoked together in plowing a field. Did you know this? I'll show you the verse and I'll also give you the picture for the verse. Here it is. It's Deuteronomy 22, verse 10. The Bible says, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. I mean, that picture doesn't even look right, does it? It's like those animals shouldn't be yoked together. That's a yoke that they are wearing across their shoulders there. They are harnessed together. They are yoked together. And the Bible specifically prohibits a donkey from being yoked with an ox in plowing a field. This is part of the Mosaic law. And why is it? Well, for practical reasons. For one, oxen, they labor forward. Donkeys pull back. They are animals that resist. Another reason the Bible prohibits these two working together is because an ox is a clean animal in the Bible. There were certain requirements, two in particular, as to whether or not an animal was clean or unclean. An animal that was clean under the Mosaic law both chewed its cud and had split hooves. Well, an ox chews its cud and has split hooves. That's why it was acceptable not only as a beast of burden, but as a sacrificial animal to the Lord. They would sacrifice oxen as sacrifices to the Lord. It was considered a clean animal. But donkeys were unclean animals. They neither chewed the cud, nor do they have split hooves. So they were not clean, and they could not be offered as sacrifices to the Lord. They could be used as an animal on the farm to do labor. You could ride a donkey as a mode of transportation. You could use a donkey to haul things around the farm. Even, remember, in our New Testaments, Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion. So by themselves, an ox and a donkey are fine animals. They just can't work together. They can't work together. By the way, either can elephants and donkeys work very well together. You catch my drift, ladies and gentlemen? Get it together, Congress. Some of you just now got the joke. All right, but it is true. It is true. Elephants and donkeys don't work together well either. But otherwise, donkeys were fine animals. They are mentioned 154 times in 140 verses in the Bible. But donkeys couldn't be sacrificed to the Lord like an ox could, or yoked with an ox for plowing. They were two very different animals with two very different ways and very different temperaments. And the same is true for believers and non-believers. And Paul uses this example of the problem of a donkey plowing with an axe as an allegory for instructing us, if you're taking notes, instructing us that Christians and non-Christians should not form partnerships, unions, or bonds for two reasons. Okay, so that's the idea behind yoking. Being yoked together means there's some kind of a partnership, a union, or a bond that the Bible prohibits Christians and non-Christians joining together. And here are the two reasons. The first one is for reasons of incompatibility. Christians and non-Christians are incompatible at high levels of relationships. There are values, perspectives, convictions, morals, and various views that are completely different between Christians and non-Christians. And if not completely different, different enough that in a partnership, bond, or union, there will be friction and strife because two people are operating from two different standards. And this is what the Bible warns us about. Listen to me, if you are a Christ follower, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are living for Him. Jesus is your life. And so you live to please the Lord, and the Bible becomes your standard, your handbook for life and conduct. If you are not a Christ follower, if you don't pretend to be a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, then you are living for yourself. The world is your life. And your standards are basically whatever you want your standards to be, and because you're not a follower of Christ, it only makes sense that your standards will look more like the culture than like Christ. And these are different people with different objectives. And this is why Paul writes here in this passage we're looking at this morning, this is why he writes about opposites. Look again in your Bibles, but I'll put the verses on the screen for you. This is verses 14, the second part of verse 14 through 16. He says, "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" Look at the opposites here. "And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" And so to make the point that there is incompatibility between Christians and non-Christians at high levels, Paul juxtaposes, he contrasts these different ideas. Righteousness is the opposite of lawlessness. Some of your translations say wickedness instead of lawlessness. These are incompatible things. Light and darkness, these are opposites. These are incompatible things. Christ and Belial. Now, Belial is actually here in the New Testament, which the original language is Greek, but this is actually a Hebrew word. Belial is used several times in the Old Testament, and it means, in Hebrew, it means worthless or wicked, but here it is capitalized because it is wickedness and worthlessness is personified in Satan. And even though God has no equivalent, he really has no opposite, but it's the idea of, you want to contrast Christ? Well, that would be Satan, Belial. And he adds also about the temple of God and idols. He said these are opposites. The temple of God represents what is sacred. Idols represent what is secular. And he said these two things don't go together. By the way, temple, the place where it is sacred, temple in Latin is fanum. Things outside the temple or in front of the temple is profanum in Latin. We get our English word profane. Things that are profane are outside the temple. Things that are wicked and worldly are outside the place where it is sacred. And so Paul is making this argument. He says, let me tell you why Christians and non-Christians can't be yoked together, because he says there is opposite as righteousness and wickedness, as light and darkness, as Christ and Belial, as the temple of God and idols. And he says, we need to understand this. There's an incompatibility of Christians and non-Christians at a level of partnership, unions, and bonds together. And he says, and because of our inerrant differences, we also will lack four particular things, and you can look again at the screen. I'm going to highlight the same verses, but notice the words. He says, you're not going to have fellowship, you're not going to have communion, you're not going to have accord or agreement because of the differences that exist. So he's saying when spiritually incompatible people form a partnership or a bond of some kind or a union of some kind, they will lack these four things: fellowship, communion, accord, and agreement. Now, interestingly, when I was studying the different original Greek words for these words, the word accord in English is the Greek word in the original New Testament language, symphonesis. Symphonesis is where we get our English word symphony. It's the idea of, you know, when an orchestra, when there's a symphony, it's beautiful music. But Paul is saying here, because of the differences, there's this lack of symphony. There's this lack of accord. Can you imagine listening to an orchestra and they're all playing different notes and they're reading off of different sheet music? And that would be a disaster. It would be chaotic. It would lack harmony. There would be disharmony and disunity. That's the argument that Paul is making. He's saying when people are of such differences, as Christians and non-Christians, you're going to have disharmony. There's going to be a disunity in this partnership or bond or union. And the reason is because we're not playing off the same sheet music. And that can affect the home, it can affect business, it can affect relationships. So number one, because of incompatibility. Number two, the argument that Paul makes is because of influence. There's a danger of Christians and non-Christians being in partnerships, unions, or bonds because of influence. Now, what I mean by that is that Paul expresses here, there is the potential for believers to be compromised in their walk with Christ when in close partnership with an unbeliever whose influence will end up rubbing off on us. Now listen, I know that makes us sound like we're super weak. Like, wait a minute, we're stronger than that. Like, we're going to be the better influence in this partnership or relationship or union. You know, that sounds like disparaging, Pastor G. Like we're stronger than this. Let me tell you something. You overestimate yourself. When Christians start to think, I will be the better influence and they will eventually come around to my way and they will eventually come around to my thoughts and my way of doing this, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Again, let me continue to emphasize, have friendships with unbelievers, socialize with them, be an influence for Jesus. But just avoid partnerships, unions, and bonds where you think you're going to end up persuading them to be just like you and to think just like you and to believe just like you and to behave just like you. It is not a rational thought to believe that your influence, look, I know there are exceptions, but the danger is too great to form some kind of a union with someone who does not share your Christ values. It is going to be detrimental to your spiritual well-being, and that's what the Bible is cautioning us about. No, I'm going to be the bigger influence. I'm going to be the one who persuades them. Listen, when a husky dog starts to run with a pack of wild wolves, the wolves do not become domesticated. The husky becomes wild. And we need to understand how that works and be aware of this, because Paul is warning us here that as believers, we have an obligation to walk in holiness. Look at the rest of your Bible in the verses that he quotes here in verses 16, latter part of verse 16 down through 18. He says, for you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, what Paul is doing here, he is quoting several Old Testament passages. He is stringing them together He's quoting from Isaiah, he's quoting from Ezekiel. He's stringing them all together to communicate this bigger message that Christians are to walk in holiness and devotion to the Lord. That's why he starts out this section saying, you are the temple of the living God. This is not the only time that he refers to us this way. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's back in 1 Corinthians 3. So he's basically repeating the same thing here in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, you're the temple of the living God. And because of that, we are obligated to honor God in the way that we live. And the biggest threat to the way that we live is when we form partnerships, bonds, and unions with non-believers. This is why he's warning us here. The idea is that your relationship with Jesus is more important than anything and anyone, and that that relationship with Jesus must be protected above anything and anyone else. I'm going to repeat it for the third time. Acquaintances and friendships with non-believers, yes, that's important. Partnerships, bonds, and unions being yoked with unbelievers, that should be avoided. And for these reasons, Paul says that a believer should not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And let me add this, although this is not particularly the point here that Paul is trying to make, but I think wisdom would insert itself in this moment and tell us that there are some Christians that Christians should not be in partnership, unions, and bonds with either. Like, this is not just about us and them. This is about using discernment about people that you get too close with in formal settings of some type of bonds or unions or partnerships or legally binding arrangements where now you have this relationship at a much higher level than just acquaintances and friendships. We should be discerning about it, whether the person's a believer or not. But particularly if they are not a believer, you're already off on two different feet because you believe things differently. You see things differently. You value things differently. Your allegiance is different. Your loyalty, your love is different. And because of those differences, Paul writes here, incompatibility and influence are the reasons why a Christian should not be yoked with a non-Christian. Now, in the final few minutes we have left, let me translate this into some practical application for us, because I know I've used broad terms, partnership, unions, and bonds. Exactly what kind of yoking are you talking about? All right. So let's get into some specifics in the last few minutes. I think that this chapter speaks clearly to things like dating relationships, marriage, business partnerships, and legally binding agreements between Christians and non-Christians. So let me first talk about dating, and then I'll talk about marriage, and I'll talk about business relationships too. This is the classic passage. If you've grown up in the church at all, you know the whole concept behind don't be, you know, unequally yoked with a non-believer. That is like the dating verse of the entire Bible. And so some of you are already familiar with it. And some of you aren't going to like what I have to say, but that's okay. It wouldn't be the first time. But I love you too much to withhold the truth, because I want you to know that I firmly believe what Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 so much applies to dating relationships that if you are a believer and you are presently in a dating relationship with a non-believer, you should break up immediately. You should break up immediately. Now, I know that that might rattle some people, but I think it's important that you understand that if you continue to date that non-believer, you are in direct violation of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it will be for your own detriment. Now, here's the predicament you're in, though, because you're like, well, maybe the person I'm dating will hear this and now come to Christ, and that is possible. But the predicament is, now you never know, did they just become a Christian because they want to stay with you? And I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in an illegitimate way, and I've seen it happen in a legitimate way. Sometimes when people realize, oh, I need to be a believer, and then their heart gets really convicted and they have a true conversion experience. Okay, that can happen. But now you're in a difficulty of knowing which to believe. And I just want to put to rest this idea of what we commonly call in the church missionary dating. Missionary dating. Like, I know I'm a Christian, this person's not a Christian, but I'm going to flirt to convert. I don't think so. That's not the way it works. You wait to he or she is converted, then you flirt. You don't flirt to convert, you convert to flirt. So you got to get rid of that notion. And if some of you are already angry by what I just said, like you should break up immediately, it's probably because you were already under conviction and you just don't like that I said it. Marriage. The issue with dating is it could lead to marriage. And then you have this unequally yoked situation if you have a couple who one's a believer and one's not a believer. But here's the difference. You are married now. So if one is a believer and one is not a believer, stay married. I don't want anybody listening to this Bible study saying, oh, I'm unequally yoked, so see you later, chum. Like, no. Like, you're married now. And because you're married, you make the best of it, and you be the best witness of Jesus to that unbelieving spouse, and you pray for that unbelieving spouse, but you stay with that person because you're married now. And so there are reasons why some people on the front end, you know, they go into it not even knowing 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So you have a believer marrying a non-believer. By the way, here at Cornerstone, no pastor will marry a believer and a non-believer. I've married two non-believers because they're equally yoked. But I will not marry a believer and a non-believer. But the idea is that sometimes people get married, they don't know. So you have a believer who's married a non-believer. But I guarantee you, they can testify to some of the frictions and disagreements of trying to please the Lord and trying to please the world, and it can be a difficult household. But another thing happens. Sometimes two non-believers get married, one becomes a believer, and the other person's not a believer. Like, what are you to do? You are to stay married and committed, and you are to pray for your unbelieving spouse, and you are to live in a way that hopefully your example influences them for Jesus. But if you're married, you stay married. If you're dating, you still have time. You still have time to adjust that, to correct that. And it isn't to say that if you're in a dating relationship and you are dating someone who's an unbeliever and you break it off, that person, maybe they legitimately come to Jesus and you can get married later. I'm just saying right now, that's an unequally yoked relationship. And then just quickly, I'll touch on the idea of business partnerships too, because I have gotten people over the years to tell me what a mess their business is in because they got into partnership with a non-believer. Usually when I hear about it, it's to try to arbitrate or pray through something or, you know, what are we going to do now? Because a believer and a non-believer are in partnership in business, you're going to have disagreements about financial matters, ethical issues, company policies, hiring and firing practices. And you might say, well, even Christians who are in partnership might have those differences. And that is true, but you compound the problem when you are trying to resolve something without Jesus in the equation, when you're in partnership with a non-believer. So my advice, for whatever it's worth, take 2 cents or not, if you are considering a business adventure with a non-believer, make sure that you have a majority controlling interest in that company. Do not do a 50-50 deal, and certainly don't do less than 50%. I watch enough Shark Tank. I know what I'm talking about. But seriously, do not give up majority control of your company if you really want it to be led with principles that you know are godly, right, and Christ-honoring. You have to have majority control of your company. And if you presently don't, and you're in a messy situation, then my encouragement would be you either make the best of it and you become the best witness, or you buy them out, or you sell your interest and you start a new company. But I'm telling you, from this point forward, we all need to be aware that the Bible warns us against forming unions, partnerships, or bonds with unbelievers. That is being unequally yoked. And I'll end with this, because all of us should be yoked in the right way, and the right way is with Jesus. Because Jesus says, he uses the same analogy. You know, it was an agrarian culture. They were very familiar with plowing and oxen and sheep and donkeys and yokes. And so Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus wants to walk shoulder to shoulder with you and me. He wants to walk arm in arm with us. And when we are harnessed with Jesus, it's never a burden because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He will carry us, guide us, lead us, comfort us. So be yoked with Jesus, all right? Befriend unbelievers, pray for unbelievers, work with unbelievers. Share Jesus with unbelievers. Just don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you will deal with whoever needs to make any corrections because of what your word says in this area for us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We pray for our unbelieving friends and co-workers, Lord. And we ask you to use us in whatever way you would so that we can be a good example of Christ to them. And we just pray for them, that they would come to know Jesus. I pray for marriages where there's a believer married to a non-believer, and it can be difficult, and it can be stressful on different levels. Just I pray for that believing spouse that you would help him or her to be a good, godly witness to the unbelieving spouse, and that they would stay committed, Lord, in that marriage. I pray for couples who are dating, and there's a believer with a non-believer, and this might be a hard teaching for them to hear today, but for their own good, God, I pray that you would help them to be obedient to what your word says here, because that is, at the very least, an emotional bond. It is a connection at a level that is not healthy. And so, God, I pray you would deal with those that need to be dealt with by your Holy Spirit as only you can. And for those in a business relationship where it's become muddy because of a partnership with a non-believer, Lord, give wisdom to those who are in a situation like that. And help us all to, from this point forward, now that we know these kind of things, to really be careful as we walk forward, to make sure we're walking in holiness, honoring you, being devoted to you above anything and anyone else. And that we would be wise about any kind of partnerships, unions, or bonds with people, whether it's believers or unbelievers, that would be inappropriate in some way because it would be dishonoring you and would be detrimental to us. So give us wisdom in all of it, Lord. Help us to be good neighbors and friends to unbelievers. We want them to know Jesus. It's just not wise, you tell us, to be yoked with them. And so help us to discern that and to walk in that wisely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Gary Hamrick. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Gary's teaching ministry by visiting cornerstonechapel.net.